as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Several months ago, Pope Francis made these starkly affirming comments about a baptized person. To quote the Bishop of Rome, "He has given us a magnificent vision of who Jesus is. He is not only saying it, he is living it." The Bishop of Rome was referring to John Vanier, son of the Governor General of Canada, who had left the promise of a distinguished career in the Royal Navy to found Les Arches communities, where those with and without developmental disabilities lived in Christian community. And so the Pope was right to say, "He has given us a magnificent vision of who Jesus is." That, I think, is a brilliant definition of what it means to fulfill God's dream in our baptism, to wear the clothes of Jesus, to be clothed in Jesus as we are in the world. John was possessed by pistis, and as you know, sometimes translated faith, sometimes translated trust. His trusting reliance on Jesus Christ allowed him to walk through this world confidently in his Christ clothes. And in so doing, he represented Jesus in the way he lived. He fulfilled God's dream on his baptismal day. In this afternoon's gospel reading, and it's very humbling to preach to all of you who have already preached on this. In this afternoon's gospel reading, the people of the Gerizims were gripped by a great fear. Gripped, grabbed, possessed, paralyzed, constrained by fear after seeing the transforming power of Jesus, seeing that power so vividly and so terrifyingly manifested that they excused him. They couldn't bear the terror of the inbreaking reign of God. And they excused him, asked him to go away. But Jesus is so subversive, isn't he? Jesus is so subversive then and now. He has a contingency. He has only one contingency in light of the request that he leave. And this contingency presents him, his one contingency, presents Jesus with one major challenge. His contingency, the man that has been healed, has a request. "Jesus, I would like to stay close to you." Understandable. Human. Jesus understands it. After all, he had a best friend. He knows the importance of proximity. And yet, this is a challenge. The one formerly naked, captured, constrained, wants a continuing intimacy with the one who's given his life back. What a challenge for Jesus. And Jesus refuses. He refuses to be constrained by this challenge to his contingency plan. He says, nope. Jesus refused more precisely, I think, more precisely. Jesus, who is God's mission, God's sending fleshed out. This Jesus deals with this understanding but challenging desire through his recreating word. He is word, and in the power of his recreating word, he commissions the man healed. He commissions him and sends him away to declare what God has done to transform him, and in so doing teaches the former demoniac and us that we are never more proximate to Jesus. We are never more proximate to Jesus than when we are with him in our divine commission of representing him in whatever alien region we find ourselves. That's proximity, because clothed in Jesus, we are trusted to co-mission with him and represent him as his. Every person in this room is clothed in Jesus Christ. Every person in this room had amazing words spoken over us when some pastor or priest or preacher said, I baptize you in the name. In the ongoing inner life of the triune God, I am baptized and you are baptized and we are baptized into the name. And in that amazing gift of sharing the very inner life of God, we are clothed in the priestly garments of our baptism, and we are trusted to represent him in the alien territory of our time, our now. Capital N. Not the now of the Gerizim demoniac, but our now, this moment. So what does that look like? Well, I can't tell you exactly what it looked like in the region of the Gerizims, but I can tell you what it looked like in a place I knew pretty well, Bardstown, Kentucky, once upon a time. I ordained a priest in Bardstown, Kentucky, because we needed a priest, and he had been a funeral director in Paris, Kentucky. He knew how to talk to people. I'm the bishop of Western Kentucky, and I need a priest in Bardstown. And it's hard to find anybody that wanted to be the priest in Bardstown. So Carl had been a funeral director. And then Carl had a terrible malady happen. It's bad when you're a funeral director and you're allergic to formaldehyde. You know, it just doesn't work. So God moves in mysterious ways. And he came to me and he said, I think I'm call to ordination. And how do you figure that out in Western Kentucky, where you can't move people to a seminary too far away? So the Presbyterian Seminary in Louisville worked with me, and St. Meinrad Seminary taught him some liturgy. And so anyway, once upon a time, he managed to earn a master's degree in theology from Louisville Seminary, and I ordained him a presbyter. One of the best decisions ever made. One day he called me up, and he had this amazing Kentucky accent. He said, Ted, I think we better have your visitation on a farm this year. There's a parishioner that has a farm, and we kind of need to have the visitation near flowing water, because we got this guy that wants to be immersed, and then we got about 7 people to be confirmed, and we're going to have this at the river, and then we'll have a picnic. I said, okay. So I showed up, and I'm the next time I do a river baptism, I'm going to roll up my pants with more attention to symmetry, because in all the pictures, one leg is rolled up more than the other. So I met the baptismal candidate, and he told me that he had been refused baptism. That happens a lot in the Bible Belt. But he really wanted to be immersed. But you see, you never know what's going to happen. There always has to be a contingency. Jesus shows us that in today's gospel. He wanted to be immersed, but he had diabetes. And, you know, a week before his baptism, he lost two toes. So there we were with his desire to be baptized in the river. So in that case, what we did is we put a lawn chair in the middle of the river, in the most flowing part of the river. And I got a bucket. And I had the bucket. And I had a crozier. And I took the bucket. And I filled a 5-gallon bucket. And I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father. And poured 5 gallons of water on him. And I knelt down again, got a second bucket full of water in the name of the Son, and poured it on him. And then I reached down the third time, got the 5-gallon bucket, filled it with water in the stream, baptized him in the name of the Holy Spirit. Then I had a great big jug of chrism and I poured most of it on him. I don't understand why we're so diminished. Saint Thomas Aquinas is dead, but he did say one drop of water rolling 1 inch. But you don't have to be limited to that in some. So I poured oil. Oh, his priestly status all over him. And I made the sign of the cross. And I said, you're sealed in holy baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. And then we called up the bank. And I received his pardon. I could have baptized him in his mother's tears. And then I confirmed 7 people at the riverbank. And then because we were in Kentucky, not in Palestine, we killed the fatted pig, not the fatted calf. We had a Eucharist. Then we had a barbecue. And that's what it looks like in the region of Bardstown. In the buckle of the Bible Belt, right around the corner from Thomas Burton's monastery. Good place. It's a good community. It's a good community that welcomed him. 78 people, I don't remember the number, were gathered at the riverbank. We're not in the territory of the Gerizims, nor are we in the territory of Bardstown. We're here in the now of trying to be Christian in 2019, with all of the distorting realities and gospel challenges of life in our country at this time. We're one of the person I baptized several years ago has a She's lacking a certain number of pieces of paper that would make her seem to be something we would welcome in this country, but she's here and she has a diabetic child and she lives in terror that she will be arrested and nobody will know the protocols for her child. That's not in the region of the Gerizims, that's in the region of Leesburg. So here we are, trying to figure out God's missional call to us, trying to figure out what our commission is as Lutherans and Episcopalians, but in the irrelevancy of that word, as baptized people clothed in Jesus. Jesus has a contingency for our now and our time and our place. And it's us. And as we stay close to him, people are transformed and protected. I know some Lutherans and some Episcopalians who risk jail to leave water in deserts in Texas, even though
That's littering state national parks, and you can get up to 20 years in jail. This is our now. This is our alien territory. And we wear Jesus as our clothes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.